I hope if you're here this morning that you can say that the chains that bound you down are all gone. I hope you can say that this morning. I hope that you can say that without a doubt. Because if you can say that without a doubt this morning, then praise God, you know what? You are truly born again this morning. Amen? Because you know all the chains that have bound you down through the years are gone. That's the title of my sermon this morning, My Chains Are Gone. If you want to turn with me, turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read one verse. And that's the 35th verse. Something Claire had said, I believe it was Wednesday night, he said that, you know what? That whenever God, whenever he got saved, he said that how he just has pity. He has that love for everybody. And I hope that we can say that here this morning. Because you know what? That's what it's about. Whenever Jesus came into us, whenever Jesus saved us, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but he did a change in this old boy's life. I loved those that I didn't love before. I loved those that maybe misused me, maybe did so many things against me, maybe did things against me. I loved those people. Where before, I couldn't do it, Sarah. I couldn't do it on my own. I just couldn't do it. But praise God, whenever he came into my life, I realized that, you know what, through him, I could do it, Ron. I could do that. Matthew 18, the 35th chapter, it says this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now I want to say that, I want to read that again to you. I want to read that and let that sink in. Let that scripture sink into you this morning. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now get that. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, I pray that you would be with this service this morning, be with the sermon this morning, Lord. I ask you, Father, to take me out of this, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the anointing would come, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the message would go out the way that you would have it. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that you know what? If we harbor any ill towards anybody, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that today would be the day, Lord, that we get that out of there, Lord. It's important. It's imperative that we do that. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, I pray, and amen. I want to make a statement to you this morning, and I hope and pray that you know what, that you understand this. You only love Jesus as much as the person that you love the least. You get that? We will only love Jesus as much as the person that we love the least. And I believe I can prove that in the scripture. As I go through, I'm going to try to preach that to you this morning. There was a convention of husbands and wives. They went to a thing one time. I read this story. It's just a little thing that maybe, and they was at this convention, these two guys had met that they had been in college together, and they sat downstairs in the lobby and they talked all night. And their wives went on upstairs. When they got up there, one said the other man said, we're both going to be in trouble. We are both going to be in trouble. And they went upstairs and they went to the room, and the next morning they met each other in the hallway, and he said, well, what happened? Was your wife hysterical with you? He said, no, she was hysterical with me. She wasn't hysterical a bit. She said all she kept doing was bringing up history lessons with me. And he said, what? He said, yeah. She said instead of being hysterical, she said she brought up everything in the past that had ever happened. She remembered everything that he had ever done. And she brought it up that one night to him because, you know what, he'd stayed out all night. You know, isn't that the case sometimes with people? How that we can harbor things that people say and do against us for years? Can we do that? But sometimes we have a hard time remembering maybe the good that people have done or maybe the good of things that happen. Don't we have a bad habit of that sometimes? You know what, I wonder sometimes about that as well as we get into churches. You know what? I want to ask you something today. Do you have anything in your heart against anybody? Have you ever met those people? The ones who seem to rehash every wrong memory? They seem to do that. The ones who seem to live in memories in the past more than what is in the present. The ones who can't seem to get past issues, some hang up that they've had in their life. They can't seem to get past those things. Some roadblock in their past. And if they still hang on to those things, they're still chained and bound down by those things that have happened in their past. Maybe somebody has done to them. I'm here to tell you this morning, and I want to help you this morning. This is what this is about. We're talking about love. If you want to know the true love of God, you have to be a forgiving person. You have to do that. You cannot hold on to things. You cannot do that. If you hold on to them, I'm here to tell you this morning, you will never grow in the Lord if you do that. You will never do that. You can't. It won't happen because you will have this will against you. And as the Bible says, as that scripture I read to you in the 35th verse of the 18th chapter of Matthew, it says this, I'm going to read to you again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now get this. Do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone, and he's talking about his brother, their trespasses. Now, did you get what he said there? If you're going to hold on to those things, and then you're going to expect God to bless you and to go with you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You will not be to the point to where God wants you to be. You'll not grow in the grace and knowledge where God has it to be. This, you know what, that illustration I use may be a little bit silly, but listen to me. I venture to say many churches across America today, no matter how big or how small they are, I'm here to tell you there are people that are sitting in those churches that have been chained with bitter hearts and bitter feelings. They're chained in them. For those of you that have flown, I've never flown. You have to go through what? Metal detectors? You have to go through all kinds of things. Why? Why do they send you through those things? To keep from weapons of destruction or weapons of hurt, to hurt people, right? What if we put a thing out in our lobbies or in our doorways that was called a bitterness detector? What if we had one of them out there? And whenever we walked into church, that thing, you had to walk through it to determine how bitter you were in your heart about something or towards someone. I venture to say that thing would light up like the 4th of July, wouldn't you? I'm not preaching to the choir, I understand. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am preaching to you this morning. Do you understand that? It isn't me just up here standing and pointing at everybody out here, because I know that within my own heart, there's things that need to be dealt with. Amen? There's things to be dealt with. If you look at Matthew 18, you know, Peter asked a question of Jesus. He said this. In Matthew 18, 21, he said, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Not once, on numerous occasions. I want you to understand this. Just stop right there. Let me say this right here. Let me give this to you this bluntly right here this morning. If you haven't had bitter feelings towards someone, or something hasn't happened in your life to where it has brought things against you, and you hold ill will towards somebody, I'm here this morning to tell you it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I venture to say, if I ask you to raise your hand, everybody's hand in this church would probably go up and say that there's been things that's happened in my life where I've held ill will maybe towards someone for a while. Maybe they belittled you. Maybe they've told a lie about you. You know what? The bigger question is not if and when it's going to happen. The bigger question this morning is, how are you going to handle it when it does happen to you? That's the big question. That's the question that I want to ask you this morning. This is not an easy message for me to preach. I've told you that. I just told you that a little bit ago. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for me to practice what I preach sometimes. Amen? You can say amen to me. It's not easy to practice what you preach sometimes. It's someone else's problem. I bet there's somebody else back here this morning that was saying, well, you know what? That is, I wish so-and-so was here so they could hear this sermon. They need it this morning. Guess what? So-and-so's not here. You're here. God has directed it to be preached this morning. And I tell you what, somebody here, whether it's just me, needs to hear this sermon this morning. Amen? Someone else is bitter. Someone else has the problem. But it's not you, right? Somebody else has that problem, but it is not me this morning. Amen? It's not me. You're okay. You're allowed to be bitter. You know what? You may be saying in your heart, well, I'm allowed to be bitter. You're allowed to fester and stew. You're allowed to do all these things because guess what, preacher? You don't know what happened to me. You don't know what he said to me. Listen to me. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen? There's nothing new under the sun. I guarantee you, you could tell me your stories, and I could tell you a few that just make your hair curl. About bitterness, about being this, about that. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing new under the sun. You're allowed to hold a grudge because of what happened to you. Listen to me. I've heard it all. I should be allowed to hold a grudge. No. Not according to the scripture I read to you this morning. If you're holding a grudge, buddy, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble. What happened to you? I wouldn't expect you to forgive everyone. Listen to me. Well, it's true. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know what happened to you, but I can tell you this morning, I know Jesus knows what happened to you. I know God knows every little detail of what happened to you this morning. I know He does. Because we serve that kind of a God this morning. But I truly believe it's a message that needs to be preached here this morning. I do. Forgiveness is a requirement that God requires of everybody. Raise your hand. God requires it of everybody sitting here this morning. It's not just the preacher. It's everybody is required to forgive. You see, the word used by Peter in verse 21 for forgiveness literally means this: to let it go and send it away. Whenever you see that in verse 21 right there, whenever Peter said that, if you go back and study out the Greek and that stuff, he said, well, then Peter said to him, said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me that I forgive him? What Peter was saying is, how oft should I let it go and send it away from me? And Jesus will answer. Literally, it means to send it away. And Jesus answers it here in a little bit, and I want to get to what he says about it. How many of us have let things go that have hurt us? How many of us let it go? I can tell you right now, I heard Sean say it earlier. You know what? This person did something to me. Man, I tell you what, I'm going to hold on to that for a while. I might need that. You know what I mean? I might need that in the future. I might need that to, you know what, I may need to come back and maybe I can get my digs in sometime, Mary. Maybe I can do that. We'll hold on to that. We may say we forgive. We may say we forget, but I guarantee you we never forget it. It's there. You might well feel that you have a right to harbor toward someone ill will. You might well think that. You see, I believe old Peter, whenever he asked the question, he had an alternative motive. I believe it. I think he was hoping the Lord would say, Peter, you went above and beyond. You see, you know what the Jews required at that time? If you go back and study it out, the Jews only required that you forgive somebody three times. Did you know that? So Peter went three more times, then added one to it. And he was saying to the Lord, he said, Lord, what if I forgive him seven times? He was hoping Jesus would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But that's not the way Jesus worked at it, did he? That's not what he said. That's not what he did. He thought Peter was looking to say, I went above and beyond. That's what he was trying to say. Seven times sounds about right. That's what he's hoping the Lord would say. But instead, Jesus gave this answer to him. Matthew 18:22. Jesus saying to him, I say unto you, unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You math gurus, what's 70 times seven? 490. 490 times. So does that mean that Jesus is saying that you've got to forgive somebody for 490 times and then you can lay the boom on them? I'll bet there's a lot of people out here that's like about 489. How about that? How about that? You 489 this morning and you've got one more time. One more time, then I'll be able to lay the boom on them. That's not what Jesus was meaning. It was a metaphor. And what Jesus was trying to lay out there was, you know what? It's endless. We got to forgive. We got to keep on forgiving. And whenever you think you've forgiven enough, you got to keep on forgiving more. of what he said during that scripture. He said, you know what? You're just saying one more time, and I'm going to let the holy indignation just run right out of me. We're going to lay aside these holy robes, and we're going to have it out, right? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is very subtle. It's very subtle in our lives sometimes. It's sneaky. It can crawl into our lives. Maybe sometimes we don't even realize that it's there. Do you understand? Unforgiveness can be right there, and sometimes maybe we don't even feel like it's even there. You know what? It's more common than most sins. Do you realize that? If you took a survey, a lot of people have different things that bother them more. And I've said this a lot. There's things that's going to bother Greg that don't bother me. And maybe he fights against it, and I don't have no problem with it. But there's things that I fight against that Greg may not have no problem with it. But if you did a survey, you will find out that one of the sins that's very subtle is that of unforgiveness, and that gets into people's lives. And I guarantee you it's one of them things that whenever it gets in there, they call it the cancer of sins. Did you know that? I've heard a preacher call it that, because you know what? When you get bitterness and unforgiveness in your life, it'll eat away at you just like cancer eats away at you. It'll eat away at you. Unforgiveness, it's been called that. It's been called the cancer of sins. And I understand. I've been there. In Matthew 18, 21, 35, Jesus is showing us that the lack of unforgiveness will do to us. He said he compares unforgiveness to a prison. That's what he compares it to. That's what Jesus, in Matthew, the 18th chapter. So with that being said, how do you and I get over this, and how do we forgive? How can we do that? How do we forgive that one who has wronged us so badly? I'll tell you what, I know that in my own heart. I've battled that. I'm being honest with you this morning. Dave Long needs prayer for that. You understand? Maybe that's why I'm preaching this. Maybe that's why I'm preaching this morning. I need prayer for that sometimes. Because I tell you what, you say, well, you're the preacher. Preacher had nothing to do with it. I'll tell you a little story. Time out. We're trying to get our house set up down here. Of course, most of you know that. Well, we dug the water line the other day, and I didn't get it deep enough, so they come back and we had to dig it deeper. Anyway, the guy that come there to inspect it, I don't know what his name was, but anyway, he came here and he was talking to me. He said, well, I hear you're a preacher and you wouldn't lie to me, would you? I said, hold on. I said, hold on here a minute. Lying to you, well, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a preacher or not. Amen? It's whether or not you've been saved. And I got to tell him that. It's not whether or not you're a preacher. It's not whether or not you're a Sunday school teacher. It's not whether or not you're a husband or a wife. It's not any of that. It's whether or not you are born again. That's where the convicting power of God comes into a person's life. It's not whether I'm a preacher. And that's what I'm saying here this morning. Listen to me. As a preacher, I have things in my life with this that I have to deal with. And I know how that it'll drag me down, how that it brings me down. And I know that if you have that in your heart here this morning, it is keeping you from your full potential with the Lord this morning. In your right mind, right now, I'm going to ask you something. In your mind this morning, you know if you have it in your heart. You've got a visual of the person. I'm here to tell you right here this morning. You've got a visual in your mind this morning of the person who's done you wrong. You're sitting back here this morning, and maybe you're thinking about that person. You're thinking about them right now. You may even very well know the instance. You may know the exact words they said or what they did to you. You know it this morning. I believe that here this morning. And I believe God is wanting to set you free, break those chains, and set you free this morning. Amen. You remember the occasion when you were wounded. You remember it this morning. I can tell you that. I know, because I have dealt with it. I know. You remember all those things in your life. How can you get past it? How can you find forgiveness towards them? How can you, to help us with that? Jesus laid out this parable here, and he tells us, Jesus is teaching us about the forgiveness and we received and how it was given to us from God. If you read the first part of that parable, I'm going to read it with you. I want you to read along with me here. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times seven, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. In that day, I want you to get to feel, do you know what 10,000 talents would equal to today? $10 million is what it would equal to today. This man, this guy right here, somehow or the other, had owed the equivalent of $10 million. How many of you got $10 million laying around? Exactly.
Whereas much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment was to be made.
The day of reckoning had come. Listen to me. Listen. One day the day of reckoning came for Dave Long. You've all heard my story. I was 16 years old. My sister had just died. She had just got meningitis, and she had died probably within 2 weeks before that. The Lord had been dealing with me for months. That happened. That drove me to my knees. Drove me to my knees. I went to church on a Wednesday night, and God miraculously saved me. The Spirit of God come rushing into my heart. There was no doubt that I was saved. And I'll still stand by today. The day of reckoning had come, and Dave Long got it right that night. I got it right. Thanks to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, that's what it said here. The day of reckoning had come. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. For so long, God had patience with me. Do you understand that? He had patience with me. Whenever I wasn't worthy of anything, he had patience for me. And you may be sitting back here today, and you know what? You may not know the Lord as your Savior. He has patience on you this morning. He is having patience on you. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him of his debt. He forgave him. Thank God. Thank God, Jesus. Whenever he came to my heart, God, forgive me of the debt that I owed. You, this morning, have a debt that needs to be paid. I want to ask you a question. What if it took you 1,000 points to get to heaven? What if it took you 1,000 points to get to heaven? And I'd go, and Jamie, I said, what kind of a family man are you? You say, oh, I'm an excellent family man. That's 2 points. What if you said, well, I do all kind of community service. That's 1 point. Well, you know what? I went and saved a family out of a burning house. That's 3 points. I'm a doctor. You get the point? I don't know what you do, but I guarantee you would never have enough points to add it up. But praise God, one day one person, one individual took care of the rest of the points in your life. And that is Jesus Christ. He died so you and I could have salvation. Praise the Lord this morning. And I'll tell you what, all the points are taken away right then and there. Amen. I could go to you and say, I cheated on my wife. Well, that's 0 points. That's five points minus. And go on and on and on. It doesn't make any difference. When Jesus, you accept Jesus in your heart, that's all gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're saved. And you know what? You think this morning, I don't know your heart's here this morning. You're thinking to yourself, well, this is I don't understand. This is a bunch of fairy tales. I'm here to tell you, unless you know Jesus as your Savior, you will never understand it. You will never understand church. You will never understand anything until Jesus comes into your heart. And the moment that He does, I will guarantee you, you will understand everything I'm talking about here this morning. This is a very simple story. This man owed millions of dollars. He's about to be thrown into prison. This man pleads for mercy, and the man give him mercy. Hey, man, I was going to be thrown into the pits of hell, folks. I was going to be thrown into prison. And guess what? God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, showed mercy upon me. The debt was erased. The man can go free, is what he said. He said, you can go free even though you owe all this. You can go free. It was a debt that I could not pay. But it's clear. You know what? It's only because of Jesus Christ. It's only each of us. Each of us accumulated a huge debt. Have we not? Each of us have. I'm not talking financial. I'm talking a spiritual sense. Everybody in this church had accumulated a huge debt. And the only way for it to be taken care of is through Jesus Christ. The only way. I need to say this as well, brothers and sisters. You know what? I don't need you. We ran up quite a bill. You know, there's people that are saying that. I don't need your love, Lord. I don't need what you're offering. You know what? I'm a free person. I do what I want to do. I take care of myself. I take care of my family. I'm a good worker. I'm all this. I'm a good man. Blah, blah. You can go on and on and on with all the I am. What it takes is the great I am in your life. Amen? Each of us deserve eternal punishment. I believe Sean went over that very well this morning. The love of God. Each of us deserve eternal punishment. Yet God says, I'd be sorry for what you did and who you are. And He said, I will come into your life and I will, you know what, I will give you gratitude in your heart once I come in and save your life. I will give that to you just like that. It's called what? It is called grace. It's called unmerited, unfavored grace is what it's called. Because you know why? Because I didn't deserve it, and I'm here to tell you, not a one of you in here deserve grace. Not a one of us in here deserve it. Not a one of us. But you know what? Thank God, through His love and His mercy, He has given us grace. That's why I'm telling you it's important. I'm going to read the rest of that parable here this morning. We'll get into why it's important that you and I do not hold any ill will towards anybody. Do not try to make things right on our own. Because you see why? God made a way for us to be forgiven. And He expects us to forgive as well. All right? Let's read the rest of it down through there. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. What's wrong with that? Can you see what? Can you not see what is wrong? Jesus had a way of bringing this stuff out. Listen to me. Listen. God had the master had forgiven him. So now he is free. Grace is applied to his life. What should that guy have done? He should have tried to apply grace to his life. Amen? He should have said, listen, what you've done to me, listen, I am going to forgive you. I'm going to let you have, because God had been generous enough to give you and I grace. Brothers and sisters, we cannot hold ill will towards anybody. None of us can do that. None of us can do that. We should not be able to do that. Listen. If it was impossible for us to forgive, why would it be? Why is it tell us so much about it in the Bible? I'm going to read you some scripture. It says in Galatians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How about Luke 11:4? And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And these are some of Jesus' own words. And I wrote this scripture down. It said Matthew 6:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not, now, this is important, but if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Man, I mean, isn't that strong? Is that not, should that not get to the heart of everybody and everything if we are trying to hold that against anybody? Mark 11:25. And this talks about the Lord's Prayer. We said it this morning, but this is important. It says, when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any. Now get this. You wonder why maybe your prayer lives are hindered? You wonder why? And this is what it says there. But if ye ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
And that ties into what I've said there this morning when it says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses.
I'm telling you what, it's a scary thought to think of it this way. It sure looks if God considers, it sure looks like it to me, that God considers our forgiveness of others as important as his forgiveness of us. You get it? And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. Whenever I look at it, whenever I thought about this, whenever I'm thinking about the love that we talk about, we've been on a study of love here recently. We've been on that. This is important for us. If we're going to say, it's more than just saying that I love you. Sean, I can say I love you all. I can say I love you till I'm blue in the face. I can say that, but you know what? Actions speak louder than words. Would you agree with me on that? Actions speak louder than words. If we truly love someone, and we will get things right. We will get it right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come and get a song, please.